The world outside your window may not be great, but here on Post Show Recaps, everything is Superman. It's the end of our Christopher Reeve Superman series here on Everything is Super. I'm Josh Wigler. I'm joined here by a man who is always questing for peace, Kevin Mahadeo. Have you found it yet, Kevin?
Josh. Peace was never an option.
Peace was never an option.
Different franchise, but...
Yeah. Peace was never an option.
I like that.
Everything is excellent will happen someday.
Everything is excellent.
Podcast. Oh, yes. Not yet, but it will happen for sure.
I like that we have to start off with the, like, you know, world outside your window, not great, but everything is super here. And it's like, is it though, after this week's viewing?
Kevin, I said at the end of the Superman 3 podcast that I was really curious to check out Superman 4, The Quest for Peace, because unlike Superman 3, I've definitely seen this one, and I had suspected that this was the one that I'd seen the most. Like, as a kid, like, it felt like I hadn't seen it in forever. I haven't seen it since I was single digits. Like very gone for me, but had this feeling that like maybe I'll just like I'll feel it the way that like I kind of like grokked elements of the first Superman that we watched. And it was absolutely the case watching it again this week. It's clearly not a great movie. It's clearly not even a good movie. But there are elements of it that I do think may have actual merit. But I also have to say that in the same way that like I cannot be unbiased about the Phantom Menace, I cannot be unbiased about the Quest for Peace. Like, a baby Josh Wigler adored this movie, and I was taken back to that place watching this. There are things about this movie that are just like they're part of like my most formative pop culture experiences. So I have to say that I really did enjoy going back and watching Superman Quest for Peace, Kevin.
Well, the good news is I also experienced this movie a lot as a kid. I clearly have wiped certain things from my memory. Like, I'm going
with
in, I think I said it.
With a kiss. That gives you a blank slate.
So many things, though. Like I wiped Margot Kidder entirely from this film. Last week when we talked about it, I was like, Lois Lane isn't in this movie, right? And she is quite a bit.
Yeah, she's absolutely in this movie. Yeah, she's like deeply in the film.
I must have wiped her away. But here's the good news for our listeners. I am capable of separating myself from my nostalgia and stuff. So I can definitely look at this movie with that lens of just like, ooh, this is bad. And there's, I don't know, man. I'm curious to hear what the stuff is you think holds up slash redeemable as we go through.
It's like it's like performance stuff, I think. There's some imagery too that feels like relatively classic. Like the first scene, even with like on the moon and like the Russian astronaut like singing to himself, like,
yes,
that started happening as like, I remember this tune.
Wow.
I can't separate myself. Like, I can't do the thing where Superman can fight himself as two separate entities from Superman 3. Like, I don't have that trick. It's one of those
things. We gotta get you some artificial green kryptonite is what we need to do, I guess.
It's like one of those things, Kevin, where I'm being like considered for jury selection. I'm like, I cannot be on this jury. You know,
like, I am so biased. What are your feelings on Superman 4, The Quest for Peace?
I can't.
Oh, I love it. I watched it so much as a child. He needs to be removed from this jury, Your Honor. We can't trust this man's judgment.
I recognize it's not a good movie. I recognize that there's some stuff that's really bad. Like the Clark and Lois thing that they've got going on, where it's like she's gonna have a problem, and like, this is problematic, but also she's going to have like a medical issue.
Yes, this is gonna be, I think, just damaging on long term. This is like Men in Black style. Like, how many times have you flashy thing of me, Kay? Like, you know, like, they're gonna give that
long term. This is gonna be dangerous for her health. Not to mention the fact that this is not okay. There is stuff in here that's not good.
Like the special effects, for example.
Yeah, but the special effects haven't been phenomenal.
Josh.
They haven't been phenomenal.
The level here. They keep reusing the same shot of Superman flying to the camera at least six times in this
movie. You know what, though? It's, I don't know. I think, like, they're... the character of Superman for me, and especially, like, the earnest portrayal from Christopher Reeve, affords some wait for it, wiggle room for me in terms of like it's the amount of hokiness it can get away with. There is like a level of hokiness and just like outright like not strong quality that like feels like, you know, like weekend cereal type stuff that like I'm okay with. Like it does not bother me that much. I cannot be biased. Remove me from the jury. I mean, cannot
here's
be biased.
The thing, I don't disagree with you. And I think for me, that hokiness and that level of like what's acceptable for like a goofy Superman movie was Superman 3, right? And I think Superman 4 unfortunately misses a bit of the mark, despite the bones of it. I think, and this is what's gonna be interesting. I think the bones of this movie is fascinating.
Yeah.
This is, I mean, I said it several times here and there, but this movie, I think more than any of the others, is a straight up Silver Age Superman story. Like beat for beat, what's happening here is extremely Silver Age-y. And for those who don't know or who are joining us for the first time, the Silver Age of comics are sort of like the age of comics most people remember when they talk about comic books and talk about like kids reading comics. It's where like, It's so crazy and so bombastic. Superman is getting hit with like rays that give him like a giant head. The Flash is like, you know, really big, so he moves slow. Lois Lane changes races for a story. It's wild. It's crazy. It's goofy. It's silly. It's nonsense. The stories were very done in one, so everything was like finished in just a couple pages. And it's very hokey, very ridiculous. And this movie is that. I think so many things that happen in this movie follow that trope. Even to the point of like Superman is like, I'm going to save the world but by getting rid of the nuclear weapons. Feels very Silver Age in its conceit. So this movie, I think the ideas in it are very true to a certain era of Superman. But the execution is where it falls apart.
And sure.
I will have to say, you know, let's get some background really quick for people. And just to set the stage about what we're going to do here. Because I do think this informs a lot about what's going to happen. Superman 3 came out in 1983, right? And
Years pass.
The movie was not successful.
Those first three are in quick succession. And yes. Then it's like a 5-year layoff.
It's essentially, I think, 4 years between Superman 3. And that's just in release. Production clearly was probably started, really quick. So here's what happened. The movie was not a success. Superman 3 did not do what they were hoping it to do. The producers of the movie, the Salkins, decide to then sell the rights to the Superman film franchise to a group of, a brand new group of people on the block known as Canon Films. I don't know if you know Canon Films, Josh, and some of our listeners may know Canon Films, but Canon Films is legendary for several things. One being the most bonkers and short-lived production company in existence, and the group behind such classics as Breakin', Breakin' 2, Electric Boogaloo, American Ninja, which was a classic of mine.
American Ninja. American Ninja was great. Great parachute pants in American Ninja, if I recall.
Superman 4, of course, and most famously, Masters of the Universe.
Oh, sure.
Starring Dolph Lundgren as He-Man.
Yes.
These are they. This is the group that made all those movies. They bought...
So artists.
Huh?
Artists.
Like brilliant artists.
Artists.
They were a train wreck. It's incredible. They were making so many movies. They came in out of nowhere and were just like the biggest, like, when we talk about Terudos or, you know, the Elizabeth Holmes, right? And WeWorks and all these people who come in with like nonsense and for some reason are able to sell stuff like a fire festival, like the people who come in and just be like, I'm going to make the best thing ever. All you have to do is trust me, give me your money and you will see such returns of dividends. Like those people that we exist and look at now would be nothing, I think, if not for the Canon Film Group. They are the first, I feel like,
amazing,
to come in and convince a bunch of people to throw money at them with this weird idea of, like, we are going to do such returns.
I don't know. Not. I mean, but it's like, you know, I understand the perspective of people who are like, oh, they might be able to, they've got Christopher Reeve, Gene Hackman's back, you know, like, they've got the ingredients, it's Superman.
Yeah, and honestly, if you look at the individual pieces, it totally works, right? But what they don't tell everyone else is that they're working on like 39 films. So the money that they're getting from Superman, they actually took and slashed the budget from like 40 million to like 15 million because they were like, we're going to put it somewhere else. And then the budget kept getting smaller because they were basically going bankrupt at the time that they kept doing this because they couldn't like maintain.
Yeah.
I highly recommend everyone check out this documentary. It's called Electric Boogaloo, The Rise and Fall of Canon Films, I believe is the full title. It goes over the history of that organization. It is incredible. It's a fascinating, fascinating look at Hollywood at the time and just the American economy. It's amazing.
Cool.
But that's why we ended up here. That's why we ended up in a situation where we get this movie, right? Because the budget was slashed, so they had to reuse special effects. A lot of people were not happy during the making of it. People were frustrated. There was a lot of butting heads. And really, if we just look at the runtime of an hour and 29 minutes, every other Superman movie has been 2 hours or more. That's a great sign that your movie is going to be doing well.
You know what? I think like some of it for me is like, When I watched it the other day, it felt like I was watching a TV special. Like it felt like I was watching like a holiday special almost.
But Superman 4 is the Star Wars holiday special of the Superman franchise.
But I had some like I certainly obviously had some nostalgia for it, for the reasons that I've explained, but for other reasons as well, including like saying goodbye to Christopher Reeve, like. I don't know. I think he's as a performer, I think he's excellent in this movie. And like the movie begins, like, I don't know, Kevin, I don't know that we need to go beat by beat. I think we can kind of like just have a conversation about this movie. I don't know that I feel up for doing the beat by beat, to be completely honest with you.
But there's so many hilarious things.
There are, and we'll go over them for sure. But like Christopher Reeve as Clark Kent at the farm on Smallville to like start the film.
Yes.
I think is really powerful. I think he's like playing like a guy who like doesn't have human connection and yet like loves humanity. Like I think that the way that he is playing this person who like to like frame that to the last scene he had or one of the last scenes he has in the movie, where he talks about how like, I wish you could all see each other the way that I see you, when he gives that speech to humanity. There's a lot of like power in this portrayal of this lonely man who loves the world.
Yes.
And I think that he plays it really well. And I think that there are some scenes in here, including those two scenes specifically, that I think at least come close, if not hit it for me, as far as like the excellence of Superman and like the excellence of this character, this man who really wants to do right by everybody, but also feels this alien who feels alienated, who just wants to be one of you. I think you get it really, really beautifully in, you know, the film beginning in Smallville. He refuses to sell the farm. His parents are gone.
Love that joke, though, with the crib. I did think that was funny, where like the crib was like cracked and he's just like, what happened to this? And it's just like, well, your dad always said that, you know, Clark got upset and had a bad dream. And like you can see Clark is like kind of like smiling and it's just like, yeah, he did. It's funny.
He can't even play baseball with like someone from his past, like who he hasn't seen in forever. And it's like this nice moment. The guy's like, you always sucked at baseball. Ha ha. And then he leaves and then like Superman just like fungos it out of the sky.
Yep.
Right. You know, he just like bombs
he
it out of existence.
A different satellite that the Russians were on.
You know, so like there's just like, I think that there's a lot of power in the Christopher Reeve as Superman portrayal in this movie, knowing that it's the last one and then knowing Christopher Reeve's story that, you know, not terribly long after this, a few years after this, he's going to have the accident that defines the remainder of his life. That has defined so much of his legacy and has contributed largely to the reasons why he is so legendary and inspirational. You know, combining that stuff with his portrayal of Superman. Like, I think it's so easy to dunk on Quest for Peace, and I think you're doing a disservice to Christopher Reeve's work in the film. I think that he is actually really great, even if the writing severely fails in so many places. But I think it's, I don't know, for me, it's sort of like a testament to the man who could like rise above that stuff. I can almost imagine Christopher Reeve like saying to the writers of this movie, like, I wish you saw Superman the way I see Superman.
Well, you know? I think,
'cause, like, he decides then to, like, I'm going to give it my best shot, and I am almost going to make you forget that this is not a good movie, but not quite successfully.
I think, you know, you are right. He does a phenomenal job in this. And I think the key actors, like, I think him, I think Gene Hackman, I think Margot Kidder, even though Margot Kidder was not giving some good stuff, really, really nailed it out of the park. I think they did a really, really good job. And I think Chris Reeve especially is a good call out, because I think he did work really well to continue to be the Superman people had seen on screen, despite being, you know, given some lines that don't work. This is interesting, because Christopher Reeve, I think this is pretty well known, as pretty much he did this movie because he wanted to do the scene that you're essentially talking about. Not the Clark scene playing baseball, but the one with Superman going to the UN and Superman giving the speech at the end about the nuclear arms race and humanity as a whole. This
Superman,
was very important.
Like, standing in front of the world and saying, I've decided that I am going to rid the planet of nuclear bombs.
Yes.
I was watching this, like, oh my God.
Yeah. I don't necessarily agree with that decision from a Superman POV. I don't think Superman would do that, but he did learn a lesson at the end of it, because that's important.
Sure, but like he really wrestles with the choice, and he's yes. like, I either have to be comfortable not doing anything, or I have to do something. And this is the crux of Netflix's Jupiter's Legacy, right? It's like there's all these stupid superheroes who are like, we're really powerful, but we don't interfere. We don't do shit. We don't stop war. We don't do anything. We just don't do anything. And Superman,
we just sit around and proselytize about whether or not to kill.
That's rendered very stupidly. Sorry if you liked the show. Didn't over here.
Did not.
And then like in this, like, Superman's like basically having that internal debate, and then he's like, I'm not comfortable with that. Like, I'm not comfortable being that guy. And I think that that's such a compelling premise in the age of, like, the Superman archetype anti-hero, like the anti-Superman types, the homelanders of the world. Like, I feel like Superman being like, I'm going to take it upon myself to do this thing that you all should be doing and you're not, but I have the power to do and I'm going to do it. And it becoming catastrophic in him, like, realizing, like, no, I couldn't do that. That wasn't good. But man, I just wish you guys would get rid of the nukes. Is right. Basically where he goes to. Like, on paper, that arc is good.
On paper, that's what I'm saying. The bonus of this
arc
thing
is good.
Great.
And there are a couple of scenes that are postmarks on that I think are great. And Kevin. I think on paper, not the way he comes about, and certainly not the execution, but the idea of a nuclear man is not the worst thing in the world.
No, well, the thing is like, all that you're saying, again, the bones are there, right? And I think,
totally.
Again, Chris Reeve did this because he wanted to give that speech, because he thought it would be so important to give that speech in front of the UN in this costume Superman costume. It's so important for the world to see, and so important to kids to see. And I think that's great, and I think that's interesting, I think that's fascinating, I love it. And he did phenomenally well in those parts, right? Like, he always does well in these movies in this role. I think the problems are, again, like, the little things eventually get to you. And again, this is like nitpicky, but it is like noticeable, and it is like one of those moments. He has talked about before, like, that idea was originally supposed to be Superman lands on 42nd Street and walks to the UN. It's an iconic, like, street. It's an iconic building. Everyone knows what the exterior of the UN looks like, and the Canon Film Group refused to film that. So they did it somewhere in England, and it's just like, that's not the UN. So, like, you know, like, little things like that is why,
yeah,
like, you bump
care.
And you hit
Metropolis. We live in a world, it's in a world where, you know, New York City is, the Statue of Liberty is in Metropolis at this point.
Yeah, but
so
it's
like,
very clearly New York City as a whole.
Yeah, but it's fine. You know, that doesn't bother me at all.
But yeah, and it's again, those budget constraints, and I think those echo and reverberate. And the nuclear man of it, on paper, could have been interesting. I think where we get into tricks, again, is, like, the choices they made versus what should have been obviously done instead. So, like, you know, again, the UN part of it, I think there's interesting stuff there. I think that's fascinating. But, like, then there's the things like Lex Luthor, right? Like, let's get to the nuclear man, the Lex Luthor part of it. First off, there's so much goofy stuff that happens. And I feel like this is where I get bumped for, like, because as much as, like, Superman talking to the UN is like, really great, you get Lex Luthor in a quarry, you know, smashing stones as you do, and here rolls up in this, like, look at this cool car.
John Cryer.
Is John Cryer.
Lenny Luthor.
Lenny Luthor.
Yeah.
And, oof. What's even crazier is, like, he rolls up in this car to a quarry where prisoners are. The two cops are like, what's with this car? And he's like, oh, take a ride. And the cops are like, totally. Let's just get in this stranger's car who rolled up to where prisoners are. And they get in and they drive him off the cliff. Somehow those guards survive. Sure. But, like, boy, oh boy, from the hair, the clothes. You know what Lenny Luthor is? He's Poochie the dog from The Simpsons. He so is. You can see it. You can see, like, where they came up with this guy who's like, the youths are going to love this character.
That's funny. That's very,
like,
good.
It's so very obviously that. Yeah. And, like, that part of it is, like, obviously the Lenny Luthor part, like, John Cryer gets a lot of, like, flack for that. And, like, I'm not going to blame him. And plus he, again, by far and away, I think redeems himself as the, probably one of the best Lex Luthers, if not the best Lex Luthor in live action.
In the Arrowverse.
In the Arrowverse. He's really goddamn good. But, like, stuff like that is so silly and goofy, but at the same time is what I mean. Like, I could see also the Silver Age introducing a rando weird character like that. And you're just like, what the hell? The other thing too, like, to the Silver Age, that's the goofiness, but I think sort of could work. But then you're just like, but wait, is the Superman, a strand of Superman's hair holding up the, like, 1,000-pound thing is so Silver Age. Like, it's like, it's absolutely, like, out of the Silver Age. But then you get a moment where it's like, okay, but then Lex Luthor smashes a thing and uses bolt cutters to just cut that. And you're just like, wait, how did the bolt cutters do that?
I think this movie reinforced for me something that had been, like, creeping across the Superman 1 and Superman 2 stuff. Is that, like, in my memory of all of this, like, I think about, like, the Christopher Reeve Superman era as, like, clearly Christopher Reeve is the best Superman, and those first two movies are stone cold classics. You know, Margot Kidder as Lois Lane and Gene Hackman as Lex Luthor, and now, like, the record scratch comes in. Where I'm like, you know what? I actually don't know how I feel about Gene Hackman as Lex Luthor at all. Like, as a certain type, for sure. Like, he's funny, he's ridiculous, but, like, he is, like, even in those first two movies, I think, is, like, a slapstick character. And what it's reemphasized for me is, like, I don't think that I have, like, I don't have a clear sense of Lex Luthor as a character because I'm not, like, a huge DC Comics kid. Like, I didn't grow up on DC Comics. My inroad to DC Comics was basically these movies, the Burton Batman movies, and Batman the Animated Series. And so there wasn't a lot of Lex Luthor for me. I didn't do Justice League or Justice League Unlimited at all as they were coming out. I didn't touch them until, like, early in my career, and I never finished them, and I don't have, like, the sense memory for them, and I don't have, like, the comic book sense memory. So, like, I don't have, like, a really well-defined Lex Luthor beyond Gene Hackman. I need to rehabilitate this, Kevin. I need to, like, fix my Lex Luthor problem, because he's everything involving Lex Luthor in this movie is the worst stuff.
It's, I mean, first of all, yes, I am
drawing Nuclear Man into that orbit.
Okay,
yes.
Good.
I mean, Gene Hackman voices Nuclear Man, which is hysterical.
Destroy Superman.
Destroy Superman. Yeah, I did not know that as a kid. Like, in my mind, like, I still had, like, very vivid memories of, like, Nuclear Man, like, shouting at Superman and stuff like that, and, like, I could hear his voice, and never once did I know, because I never bothered to, like, dig into Quest for Peace at all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Gene Hackman is Nuclear Man's voice?
Yep.
This poor guy, Mark Pillow, who plays Nuclear Man.
Well,
you know, he never did anything after this.
Well, yes, because, so this, let's talk about this. So
this
here's
bombed his career. He opened up a vineyard.
Here's the thing, Josh. Now, I definitely need to look into this, but part of me doesn't want to because I want to believe the reality. But from what I understand, the reason why Mark Pillow hasn't done anything after this and hasn't really done much before is because the producers saw this man at a gym and was like, my lord, look at this man's physique and put him in this movie. As Nuclear Man.
I mean, I don't know. Like, if that's true, that's ridiculous. But also, like,
again, watch that doc. It's hilarious. This is the type of stuff they did, man. It's crazy. they cast this dude because they saw him at a gym or like, look at his physique.
Yeah.
And then they cast him as Nuclear Man.
Sometimes there's like stories of like people who like just get like brought in like out of complete obscurity and then become like superstars.
Well,
but like
sure,
usually
Harrison
those people
Ford was a carpenter,
but... right? You know, but like someone's got an eye, and clearly like this was not that.
No,
like again on paper, I don't hate that Cinderella story. Well, in execution.
Right? But, like, the Lex Luthor of it all, I think I do need to recommend some good Lex Luthor stuff. One, just, I'll send you some scenes of John Cryer. Two, the animated Lex Luthor is phenomenal. Clancy Brown's Lex Luthor is great. There's some new animated stuff I can recommend. We'll say that for the end, actually. I'll go through some of that stuff.
Great.
But the Lex Luthor stuff here, again, on paper, I don't dislike certain aspects of this, because the idea of Lex Luthor being like, okay, look, we tried other Kryptonians, I couldn't control them, we tried my land scheme, which was my own thing with the bombs and the kryptonite, that didn't work, we need something to take on Superman, and the only thing that's strong enough to take on Superman is Superman. So Lex Luthor gets Superman's DNA and decides to clone him. Now, yeah, they didn't go into this here, but usually in the comics when this happens, Lex also used parts of his DNA, hence why him having the voice Lex Luthor is not that far off. If I'm not mistaken, one of the things that I think they wanted to do was actually layer the voices of both Chris Reeve and Gene Hackman together, which would have been the Nuclear Man voice. But that idea of cloning Superman to create something that he could control to be Superman is not crazy.
Yeah.
Because it exists. And sure, this is another instance of where, why did you make this choice? Because what's being described, and even when we were watching, my fiance is just like, yo, does this movie have Bizarro in it? And I'm like, it does not. Because, like, on paper, this should have been Bizarro. This
Bizarro,
should have been,
for the non-Superman faithful, is
literally
Bizarro
what I described,
Superman.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, he is Superman. He's a clone of Superman. He's basically, like, imagine all the stuff we just saw about Lex Luthor wanting to clone Superman. That happens, except instead of Nuclear Man, which makes no sense. It's a clone Superman, and he's called Bizarro because his morals are corrupt. He's the reverse of Superman, because he is essentially like corrupted through various means and various stories, depending on what you read, whether it's through Lex Luthor's influence. So he has like corrupted morals.
He's a kind of disfigured, right?
He's disfigured as his clone because he's a clone, and he starts to deteriorate. He has like white gray skin. Another thing is they're from this other planet that's like the Bizarro world where everything is opposite. It's depending on the history of Superman, because it's been like 85 years. There's a lot of different interpretations, but this idea of a clone of Superman who is corrupt is Bizarro and is existing in the comics. So why not have done that, right? So instead you get Nuclear Man, who I don't... Why would the clone of Superman who explodes into the sun through a nuclear bomb then come out looking like that and have solar radiation powers, where he's shooting fires from his hands, he can move stuff by pointing and spinning it telekinetically, he can grow his nails super long? What is that? Yeah. Where's the sun part of that one? Like, those little things that you're just like, what is happening? And then, whenever he's not in direct sunlight, he powers down, which is wild, because most of the time, you're gonna be in sunlight anyway, especially if you're in space, which happens. So, like, there's a lot of stuff in there that to me is just so wacky and so weird. But is Silver Age, on paper, Nuclear Man, Bizarro aside, Nuclear Man being created like this, a weirdo thing that shows up for one issue of the comics, who has weird powers that don't make any sense, and Superman has to fight on the moon, 100% is something you would see in the Silver Age. So again, on paper, all this stuff feels right, but the execution is where it goes all wrong. Because like, you have these moments where this cool fight that I remember as a kid watching now is kind of like, it's not as actually as cool as I remember it being.
Yeah,
which is unfortunate, right? Like, you have this interesting moment where they're flying and chasing him through Metropolis. Like, he blasts through the Great Wall of China, and so Superman has to rebuild that with his eyesight. Somehow, not too sure how that works. And the volcano eruption and Superman saves it, you know, with the lava, I think is actually, that one's pretty interesting. The Statue of Liberty stuff. But then he scratches him. He just scratches him with his weirdo nails. And Superman's like, oh no, too much. And then just down he goes.
It, well, it's maybe so they're weird. Like, I don't know. They're like kryptonite tipped. I don't know.
I love the grasping of straws on that one.
Yeah.
Like the bones of that is cool, Kevin, though, right?
Like they Zod and Ursa and Nan rewrote Mount Rushmore on a flyover, and like we call that movie a classic. So like this stuff doesn't fully take me out if that stuff didn't for me. Your mileage will totally vary, but like there's like a slapsticky quality in all four of these movies that. I'm not against, especially like kind of like in our modern era of like shit is so real, or like they're, you know, aiming for that. I think, you know, we're Marvel zombies to a certain degree, right? And like we tend to love a lot of the MCU, even if there's like maybe some of the we'll get into it. We've been talking about the Disney Plus shows for a few weeks now, or it's been a few weeks since we talked about the Disney Plus shows. There's some holes there. I think in the TV realm, they've got a lot to recover. We'll talk about a Disney Plus show very, very soon. Stick around to the end of the podcast. We'll start segueing towards Loki. But like, I don't know, like in like our current landscape, like, I don't know. I don't mind like going back to like a time where like you could get away with just like Nuclear Man scratches Superman and that's a problem.
Yeah, listen, I didn't hate
myself watching this. I kind of enjoyed watching it.
This is the thing. There are things like I feel like I could have enjoyed a lot more. Like, for example, the Nuclear Man scratching stuff, the fight could have been enjoyable because the bones of it are is great, right? The smashing of the Great Wall is interesting. The Statue of Liberty stuff is interesting. Superman saving from the volcano explosion is all interesting. I think that's all really cool. But it's just the execution just always felt a little bit off to me. Even the goofiness of like the end, which is holy goddamn bejesus. Like, they go into space for whatever reason. Nuclear Man like falls in love with Lacey, wants to, you know, kidnap her. So they go into space and Nuclear Man grabs her. He takes this woman into space
and she's fine.
Like, it's nonsense. Yeah,
because he's emitting some kind of like Nuclear Man power bubble that she's able to survive inside of.
Sure. But
just
then you have
cannon it. It's good.
Even if you say that, what happens next is bananas. Superman pushes the moon out of orbit to block the sun.
No, and like, sorry, he changed time by spinning the Earth backwards in the first movie, and we didn't like it, but we loved the movie.
So, but
like,
we hated that.
We
but
did.
Here's the
we
thing,
did, but it's not without precedent. It's not without precedent that this kind of shit goes down.
It's not without precedent. And again, it's not without precedent in the comics because this is a Silver Age move he's done before. But I think where it loses me, for all those things that I think the bones are good, like if this was a Silver Age story done goofy, I think I would have really enjoyed it. I think the difference between Superman 3 and even what we did before is I think the actual film process or the execution of the movie, because ultimately, maybe it's because of directing. Maybe it's because of the music choice, because the music wasn't John Williams and they did some other stuff.
Sure.
And maybe it's the other little pieces that I, unfortunately, more than anything, found the movie boring and wasn't enjoying the entertainment value. And it wasn't because I thought everything was dumb or I didn't like it. I wanted to because, again, the bones are there. Superman pushing the moon out of orbit. I'm like, that's wild. Like, Lacey going into space and she's fine. That's crazy. Superman on the moon fighting Nuclear Man who pounds him into the ground.
I love that.
Iconic
for me. And
Superman, it's iconic. But you know what part is hilarious? Superman, when he comes back out, still takes a hot second to be like, I will pick the American flag back up.
Yeah.
Killed me. Yeah. Amazing. Like, all of that stuff.
Truth, justice, and the American way, right, bro.
And all that stuff I think is so silly and so goofy, and I think I would have really enjoyed it if it was directed and produced and, like, filmed better. Because those are all things I think I could have watched that I enjoyed about Superman 3, right? The goofiness. But unfortunately for here, because of that, it didn't land as much as it should, and it wasn't because of, like, this movie's stupid and terrible. It's just, I think the actual unfortunate fact is the filming of it, everything around it, not the pieces, not the actors, unfortunately falls apart. It's hard to like enjoy even the goofiness of the moments when that, like, I remember the with the train sequence, right? The guy has a heart attack, Superman has to stop the train. I think that's an interesting and fun sequence, but like, I couldn't stop laughing at that conductor who was just like, and like, just no offense to that guy. We didn't see his face, but wow. Academy Award winning acting on that one. Yeah. Like little things like there, you know, and of course, like the Lenny stuff. And yeah, it's like the goofy parts I'm kind of okay with, right? I like the idea of. He gets scratched again, very Silver Age. And for some reason, he's an old man, Superman, as he's getting what nuclear man poisoning.
I love it.
You know, like, I don't know any of that. Like, that's so weird to me. But like, he's an old man, Superman, but they introduced that plot point with the green crystal at the beginning, and now he uses it here. That all is, again, very, very Silver Age, very much in line with some of the comics that have happened. But it's just, the other parts of it, I wanted to enjoy it way more than I did. And I think it's just the quality of the filming itself is really where, unfortunately, I got hamstrung for all these goofy ass moments that I could have liked. Like, Josh, the Flintstones-esque date. Where
the Flintstones date is hysterical, where he's so like, wild. He's going in like Superman dating Lois, Clark dating Lacey. Well, the all of that stuff is bad. All of that stuff is very bad. Not the least of which is like, so this movie establishes, because she wasn't in Superman 3, basically. This is like continuing Lois's story from Superman 2, that I guess that they have just been like he like snaps her in and out of her like fugue state where she remembers everything. But when like the movie wants us to believe that Lois is okay with it, right? That like when she's like, so Superman, like Clark jumps off. He takes Lois with her, and then they go flying, and they have the da-da-da-da-da all over the world, yep. And they're talking, and they're reconnecting, and she tells him, like, I remember everything. And then he kisses her again. He says,
wipes her mind again.
It's not fair. And then he kisses her again and wipes her memory again. And so the implication is that this has been happening, that they are having this, like, secret identity relationship, basically, that Lois doesn't remember when she is, like, not in that state, but when she's in that state, she's super cool with. I'm uncomfortable.
Horrifying.
I'm uncomfortable. Horrifying. I'm really uncomfortable, and I don't like that at
all. I did not remember
this.
When this
scene
happened,
it's not good.
When this scene happened, and he starts walking and walks off the roof with her, I was like, what is happening? Like, I didn't remember this at all.
What I thought was happening, because I didn't remember it either, is like, I thought that this was him kind of like deciding, like, I'm so alone. I don't know what to do. I have no confidants. I need like the person who I love and knows, like, I've made a mistake. And like, I thought that this was like sort of like a confrontation of that. Like, was like, I had like this moment where I thought that that's what was going on. And then like for the rest of the movie, she was going to be in. And then he like kisses her and wipes them out. And I'm like, this has been happening. This has been happening. This is happening now. And it's been happening. And I was really icked out. I thought for a moment that it was going to be like, okay, so this is like an undercurrent. And then it's like, clearly I'd forgotten the rest of the film.
Same. I mean, I did not remember it. I don't like it. And it also makes the scene later so weird, because the scene when he is like, you know, like kryptonite nuclear
he's like
fan
sick.
Poison.
He's sick. He's like, he's by the fire. He's got the blanket on. Lois shows up. She's like crying about like what she would say to Superman if she knew that she could only see him one more time. And if you read it from the view of she knows that Clark is Superman and she's saying this to Clark in that moment, it's kind of beautiful. Like, because the performances are really exceptionally great, but like, you have to imbue it with so much of your own personal take.
Exactly.
You have
because, like,
to.
The idea that like she knows and
what's
is
in
like
the text
saying this
is not
to him,
helping you at all. Yeah,
it's not. And like, I think that could have been such a powerful scene. I wrote that scene now because I think it's so interesting, because she's upset.
This
she
is what I
Clark's
mean though.
Apartment.
When I say like there are things about the movie that I do enjoy, but like you have to kind of like chunk them and make them your own, which is, you know, a sign that the movie failed for sure.
Right. And to be fair, we did that with Superman 3 by coming up with the idea that Richard Pryor is Mr. Mixed's pet.
Sure.
Like, but
exactly. 100%.
In this again, like, I think that scene's good, but it's just the stuff around it, because we had that scene earlier, is where I think this scene fails, because we showed that Superman is just wiping her memory back and forth, and that's not okay, and it's uncomfortable and
she's
not
gonna
cool.
Have a problem. She will right. Have a problem. There will be a medical issue that stems from this, let alone the fact that this is not okay.
It's not. And that's like where I think it upsets this scene, because if this scene had just happened, if we didn't have that earlier scene, and you have a moment where Lois shows up and gives this speech, and you're just like, oh my God, does she actually remember about everything that happened? That's interesting. That's fascinating. But instead, we know it's like super weird because he's wiping her memory. So who knows? It's things like that. And not even to mention, like, we're talking about the Lois part of it. And again, I think Lois gets, you know, does dirty in this movie, which is unfortunate. But the other half of the equation, because that's the Lois and Superman part, the Clark and Lacey. Lacey gets introduced. See, Lacey's who I remember. I remembered Marielle Hemingway being in this movie. I remember her being the, like, the main love interest, which is why I was just like, oh my God, Lois Lane's in this much? She comes in because her dad buys the Daily Planet, because the Daily Planet is always getting bought by someone or some, you know, like, corporation. Again, precedent, continuously purchased. Right. I don't know why these rich people want to buy newspapers. They're not successful. And she's like his daughter, so for whatever reason, nepotism, she gets the job there. But then she proceeds to sexually harass Clark Kent nonstop.
Yeah.
Like, this is Clark's essential, like, boss, basically. And she is sexually harassing him. She is forcing him to go to a gym to work out with her. There's so many things that are also like, this Kevin, is not okay.
In isolation, I love the Jazzercise stuff so much. I love Christopher Reeve in the sweatsuit and
isolation,
like,
it's great.
The hunchbacking.
No pain, no gain.
No pain, no gain. I was telling you, like, that's like indelibly ingrained in me. Like, when I hear the phrase no pain, no gain, I think of Superman 4.
Time. And I think of, you know, him doing, like,
Jazzercise. He looks ridiculous. Right? Like, it's and so I 80s. Think,
in isolation, that's fine. But the reality is,
of course,
he's doing it because he's being sexually harassed.
Yes.
And that, of course, leads to that double date moment, right? Which, again, is so stupid and Silver Age and goofy, where he needs to keep going back and forth as Superman and Clark Kent. He, for a moment, when he heat visioned Lois's, what was it, a turkey or whatever bird she was cooking. A chicken, maybe. He heat visions it, right? Because he needs to be here distracted. I should have thought he actually ruined the dish because he overcooked it so it would burn. And I was like, you ruined Lois's dinner just so you could have an excuse? And I was just like, what a dick. Like, she was so happy and proud of being cooking this meal. And then he heat visions it. But I do appreciate that he did recover. Where it's just like, oh no, he actually just cooked it to perfection, which is fine. Superman helps Lois cooks a perfect bird, sure. But then he's going back and forth switching. You get the stuff where he goes downstairs, he gets hit. The luggage cart picks him up and he goes away so he can transform again. But, like, as goofy as that is, part of me is just like, bro, you're Superman. Like, just show up for a few minutes and as Superman and just be like, hey, I actually really can't do this. There's, like, a fire in Indonesia, I gotta go. Yeah. Just leave. Yeah. There's no reason you need to continue this charade. Yeah. You're Superman.
Yeah.
If it's like maybe Peter Parker, sure. But you're Superman. You got stuff you're doing.
He's just looking to connect. He's so lonely.
I mean, maybe with Lois, but again, he's being sexually harassed by that other woman.
He's so lonely. He's so lonely. He's just looking to make a friend.
It's so weird. So I'm torn, and this is one I don't know how I feel about, because we've talked about the real thrust of all of this was a nuclear arms race, right? And I do think the idea of that speech is phenomenal. I think the ending speech is really great. I think Superman making a mistake, although the hilarity, another beautifully Silver Age moment. The hilarity of Superman taking all their nuclear weapons, which, by the way, he's like, I'm going to take all the nuclear weapons. And the next scene we see is people just shooting off nukes. And I'm like, what? Did the rest of the world hear he's going to come take them? We might as well use them while we can, because he grabs a bunch of them moments after giving that speech, which only leads me to believe that these other countries decide to just fire off some nukes for fun. But he picks them up. And then he throws them into a giant net that he has in the sky. And I remember that. I remember the giant net. And it was just like, this is so goofy.
Yeah,
this is so stupid. And again, on paper, it made me laugh a lot, especially now, like, thinking back on it. But when I was watching it, I was like, this is absurd. But all of that is interesting and I think fascinating. What I don't know how I feel about is how we got there. Because the reason this all happened is because there was a speech going on and a teacher decides to talk to her students about the nuclear arms race and says, I know you all are very concerned about this. And I was like, are they? Like, are these, like, 8 to 10 year olds really deeply involved in the nuclear arms race of the world right now. And then you have that kid who's staring out the window, whose name is Jeremy. And so Jeremy decided to speak in class today and say that he should just get Superman to do it. And he's going to write a letter to Superman. And that's how this happens. Because Superman gets the letter from Jeremy because Jeremy is deeply concerned about the state of the world in nuclear arms race. Hard, I know, like, Greta Thunberg is this, so, like, I understand, like, young kids can do a lot.
Well, there's
just
that,
very
it's,
weird.
It's also hard to locate ourselves in that time, you and me specifically, Kevin, even though you're so much older than I am. We were when this movie came out, 2 years old. Yes. You know, so, like, we don't have that. I, that's another thing. Like, I watched this, like, I was, like, a toddler. Like, mm-hmm. Basically an infant. Loved this movie. Oh, my God. But, like, think about kids who are, like, mid to late single digits right now. You think they're not concerned about the virus? You think they're not concerned about the state of the world? They absolutely are. I mean, my nephew, like, talks about it. Like, it's definitely a thing. And so, like, to, like, locate yourself in, like, nuclear panic or whatever, like, yeah, you know, maybe there is, like, this is something that you have to talk to your kids about in a classroom so that you understand why their parents are so stressed out and why, as a result, their lives are harder. So I don't take issue with that. I actually think that's relatively realistic that these kids would be concerned. They're just, like, their version of the concern for it, I think, would be different than yours or mine.
Okay, this rarely ever happens, so enjoy this moment, Joshua Wiggler.
My God, hold on, hang on. Just give me a second to brace for it.
Yep,
hold on, I just need to, like, comb my hair a little bit. All right, hold on, let me just grab onto something. Okay, say it.
Okay, you have convinced me that this makes a lot of sense, and I think that it totally tracks, and I do like the idea that, yes, a kid wrote to Superman because he thinks it's important, and Superman could do something about it.
Yes!
And that does put Superman in a moral crisis.
A kid's version of that would be, why doesn't Superman just do it? And everyone's like, oh, shit. Yeah.
Why doesn't he? Yeah. And so, okay, fine. I agree with that. I think it's interesting.
Superman 4, The Quest for Peace is a masterpiece.
No, not even a little bit. But yeah, then, and that leads to some cool stuff. And I do like that there is a journey for Superman as a character. Because like I said, I think him going in front of making that speech, him being like, I'm, you know, going to do that. I'm going to get rid of the nukes. I don't necessarily agree that Superman should do that, right? And I do at the end of the movie that Superman himself is like, I can't make that choice. Like, this is what I've come to in my decision here with this. I just wish you guys could see you the way I see you. And I think that's beautiful. I think that's amazing. I think that's wonderful. Yeah. If there's one good thing in this movie, it is that. Yeah. It is that Chris Reeve stuff and that Superman stuff right there. But like, yeah, it's an interesting topic because it is one of those things where when you have characters that have power like this, you have abilities like this, how much do they interfere? How much can they do? I personally think that varies from the person to person. For example, if Kevin Mahadeo had these powers, Kevin Mahadeo would solve a lot of goddamn problems. But I think Superman is different.
He
I think Superman is a character.
So many more.
Oh, so many. I would definitely be like, what is a supreme power style?
I really don't want to think about you with Superman's powers. It's a terrifying thought.
Horrifying. So I like that, right? I like that idea of it. But then, like, yeah, you have it wrapped up with the nuclear man part of it and that weirdness and that whole thing. And it's very disjointed because of, I think, a lot of those reasons, which we haven't even talked about how nuclear man, what happens to him at the end of this movie, because that's a very un-Superman thing as we're talking about the Superman stuff that he does that I felt was weird and Superman shouldn't just, you know, take all the nuclear
room
into the sun.
Go in. Lay it out.
Josh. So it's not even the moon, right? He pushes the moon. Yep. We'll accept that.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah.
But you see what he does afterwards? After Nuclear Man is depowered, Superman grabs him, flies him down to Earth, and throws him into a nuclear reactor.
Yes.
He kills that man.
Yes.
We've debated a lot about, like, the whether or not he killed people in this, like, what happened to Zod, all this other stuff. There's zero question that Superman murdered this person.
Yeah, but at this point,
movie.
I'm inoculated to it because he killed Zod and Ursa and Nan. He threw them.
Ridiculous.
He had them plummet from a great height, depowered.
We didn't know how high those things were.
An unsurvivable fall.
We don't know that.
An unsurvivable fall, or if they survived, they at the very least shattered their limbs.
Plausible deniability exists in that world for that moment. There's no deniability in this. We could go back and forth about what happened to Zod, Ursa, and Nan. There's no question here. It is very obvious. Superman is not perfect as visual as a neck break.
he's not perfect. He nearly broke Zod's neck. He was going to do it, and then he got stopped. He was about to do it. He was about to murder Zod in Superman 2, for sure. 100%. And then if you want to debate whether or not he kills them at the end of Superman 2, sure. I'm going to say he does. They don't make it. And certainly in the theatrical cut, you never see him again. They're gone. They're dead. Their bodies, B-O-D-Y-S, at the bottom of the Fortress of Solitude.
Well, the
and then he roughed up the diner
go-to
for no reason other than petty vengeance. So Superman is not a perfect man. He fronts as the big blue Boy Scout, but he's got a mean streak for sure, and this is already established for me in the previous films. I'm fine with it. Also, canonically, at this point in time, Superman has also done all of those deeply shitty things that he's done in Superman 3.
But he hasn't murdered a person. I do love the idea.
He's like done some terrible things, and like he like blew like that ship on the water apart. Like
he
horribly one night stand. Like, so a lot of like these terrible things that Superman's doing, like maybe the bad boy Superman just never went away.
He's just Superman faking it 3. Real well.
Yeah. Yeah. And so like in Superman 4 is like trying to pay homage to all of the things that have happened in the Christopher Reeve Superman films up to this point. It's a finale.
There is a lot of homages.
They have to thread those three movies, warts and all. And so that means, yes, maybe he's still a bit of a dirtbag. And yes, maybe there's some light murder that needs to occur on Superman's part. But it's just standing up and saluting what's come before.
For a hot second, I thought you were going to argue that, is he really a person if he's a clone? And I was going to be like, Josh.
No, that's not what I was going to do.
Yeah.
Nuclear Man, for whatever else he is a person.
Yes. Yeah, yes.
For sure.
This is, yeah. A clone is still real.
He's still a person, for sure. Yeah. What happens is not great.
I'm just
trying to say, like, is it without precedent? I don't know.
This one we're gonna disagree on, because no, this one's straight up hardcore murder.
Mostly just joking, but
yeah, it's ridiculous. I do love also, like, after this is all done, he basically like takes Lenny, who of course naturally has a catchphrase in this movie, because again, like Poochie, he needs a catchphrase, which is that, correct, like, oh no, that he just repeats several times in this film.
Yeah.
Takes him and drops him off at a youth center, which I think is pretty good, that it's just like the priest is just like, yeah, sure, we'll take him in. And I do like that Superman, you know, does that, because I do think it's Superman-ish to, like, you have a young kid who's clearly down the wrong path and wants to not just be like, go to jail. It's actually rehabilitation and trying to have them go down the right path. I think that's great. He does throw Luther in jail, because Luther is definitely not a good person, possibly irredeemable, because as you know, it's common knowledge, quote, it is common knowledge you hate children and animals. And anyone that hates children and animals is beyond reason at this point. So Luther's going to go back to jail.
Yeah.
And I love that he explains, how does Superman know? And Superman says, high school physics, born from the sun, must be source of his power. And I wrote down, that's not physics. That's not what physics is about.
Sure.
So I thought that was funny.
I feel like he sells you on it with the conviction. Christopher Reeves, this final scene between Christopher Reeves, Superman, and Gene Hackman's Lex Luthor, I love. I really do. First of all, I love all of like the prisoners just like ruthlessly mocking, yes, Lex Luthor as he lands. And then I love this final exchange of Lex saying, is the world going to be vaporized? And Christopher Reeve, in like his most brilliant Christopher Reeve, just like confident, personality fueled Superman of just like being the best, just responds with, no, it's the same as it's always been, Luther, on the brink with good fighting evil. See you in 20. It's just
it's a phenomenal.
It's
moment.
A phenomenal line, and it's delivered brilliantly. And that's basically the end of the film. And that's the stuff for me where I will say, like, I enjoyed watching this movie. There is no universe where I am arguing that this movie is better than any of the films that we've talked about in this series. Obviously not. But it has been literal decades since I've revisited Christopher Reeve as Superman, and I have no idea when it's going to happen for me again. Probably not soon. Probably a long, long time from now. And I loved getting this chance to revisit someone who meant a lot to me as a kid. Not in like the way that, you know, he means to you. You know, you're really wrapped up in his mythology. You know, you've read so much of his stuff. Like, it's different. Like, I'm not challenging your love for Superman. I'm saying I think it's like a different kind. Like, mine is just like pure like sense memory. Just like I would wear the costume and that would be great. And to like go and see that and like both like say hello to it and then in this to say goodbye to it. Was like a really wonderful experience for me. So I don't care the movie is shitty. Christopher Reeve is great. And he really is still trying, even in the midst of this mess. And I appreciate it and I see it. And I really enjoy him in this. Like, I feel like there's something about how old is he in this movie? Is Christopher Reeve at this point? He's got to be like, he's like almost 40, not quite, but like he's like, I don't know, he's like our age.
Yeah.
You know, and like, I feel like I see that on him.
He's exactly our age.
Like, I feel like I see mid 30s Superman, and there's a difference between that and late 20s Superman, you know, who we had been hanging out with up until this moment. I don't know. It's not a good movie.
You see, that's okay because like,
I think I do love it. I do think I love this movie.
And that's, you know, I'm a big proponent of people having those things that you could acknowledge this is a terrible film, but I love it. Certainly, I am guilty of that about certain franchises. I think that's fine. I think that the fact that you enjoy this movie, but you can acknowledge that it's bad is what's key, right? Like, if you were convinced, like, this movie is a good movie, I'd be like, you're crazy.
Right.
And that's the thing. Like, I wish I had that experience and I didn't, unfortunately, because, like, for me, like I said, I think the things we're calling out that are good. And I think there's like the pieces that could work. I think on paper, there's a lot of interesting stuff. On paper, there's like a solid structure. On paper, there is a Silver Age story that you could have done. But I think the things around it, the low budget, the rushed production, the quality of directing, the music choices, I think all of that is where the movie, unfortunately for me, ended up being boring. Not paced
sure.
well enough.
Yep.
And that's where it faltered, which sucks because again, I think there could have been really cool stuff. I think as a last moment of Superman for Chris Reeve, I think he carried the torch up to the end the best way he could.
And then waited for the last second and blew it out.
And so I think that's all really great. And I think that's all really powerful. And of course, these movies have a huge, huge meaning for me. And it was incredible revisiting them. At the very least, I think this movie got you watching the Superman and Lois TV show, which is awesome.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that's happening.
Two behind now.
But like that stuff is great. And like, so there's stuff, and I think it's so hard to like find the good stuff too. I think this is so great. And for people who want to read or watch more of the Superman stuff, I think I definitely encourage the Superman and Lois show. You can jump right into there. John Cryer is phenomenal as Lex Luthor, but you know, the Supergirl show, there's a lot of seasons. The CW stuff is really hard to get into. Superman and Lois works because it is very self-contained. You don't need to see anything else. You can just jump right in
so
there.
So far.
Yeah, so far. But there's other things that the old DCAU, DC animated series, Batman the animated series, Superman the animated series, especially into Justice League United, highly encourage that. I think that's such a phenomenal representation of Superman throughout there. You get the other members of the Justice League as they come in. You get arguably one of the best Lex Luthors, which is Clancy Brown voicing Lex Luthor, and is incredible. Really, yeah. Really well done. And most recently, I have to say, I got to give a shout out to this because this blew my mind. For a long time, I have not been into... I love that old DC stuff, right? The Bruce Timverse, as it's called. I was not that into the more recent DC animated movies. They've been doing these animated movies for a very, very long time. A lot of them were self-contained. They were one-offs. They were pretty good. I enjoyed a lot of them, some more than others. But recently, in the last couple years, I really disliked them. They've had it like animation style I wasn't into. They were hyper violent. They would just curse because they were like, we can be R-rated. And I just felt it was really edgelordy.
And Batman have sex on a rooftop with Batgirl or something in one
correct.
Of them.
Yeah. Correct. But most recently, starting last year, they have essentially rebooted this film universe. There's a brand new animation style, brand new voice cast, and they've been doing movies. They've done two so far. I'm going to shout out Riley from our patron Riley for recommending this originally. And I watched them both and they are fantastic. The first one is Superman, Man of Tomorrow. And that kickstarts this new universe. There's only been two. That's the first one. And it is a very amazing introduction to Superman. It is like Superman 1 for modern day, essentially, right? It's the Superman coming to Metropolis, meeting Lex Luthor. It's really, really well done. Zachary Quinto voices Lex.
And oh, that's
fun. Inspired choice. He is really great. And I'm like, oh, of course. That's such a great choice for Lex Luthor. It's really, really, really well done. And then the second movie that they did that just came out, and it is so supremely my jam, I can't even describe, is Just Society World War II. Equally incredible. Phenomenal voice cast, phenomenal animation, incredible action. And they just do some really good stuff with the DC universe. And there's some good, like, Man of Tomorrow, phenomenal Superman beats. There's some interesting Superman beats in Justice Society I don't want to get into, but worth the watch. I think if you're looking for something that's also Superman-ish, that can help you explore the DC universe, I think that's a great point if you just want to do animation, you just want to do visual versus reading comics. I highly recommend that as something new. And then for the comics, I mean, there's a ton, right? There's a ton of comics. Superman Secret Identity, Superman Red Sun, All-Star Superman. There's just a lot of things I think you can delve into. You can get lost on Superman if you try to just read every story, the long-running 85-year stuff, but there's some great one-off adventures I would highly, highly recommend. I'm so glad that this happened, that we were able to talk about these movies that have meant so much, I think, to both of us. And Chris Reeve in this role was so iconic and so important. Obviously, the tragedy of what happened was just awful.
Yeah.
But, you know, the work he did afterwards, I think, carrying on that legacy, you know, embracing the idea of like the Supermanness of it all and trying to continue to do good in a world where, you know, something so tragic and horrible happened.
Yeah. Yeah, I loved going back. I'm so glad that we did. I'm glad it really worked out. The timing was amazing. Do you feel incomplete that we're not doing Superman Returns?
No, because like for me, it's weird. I actually had rewatched Superman Returns relatively recently, and like so many things that like between Superman 3 and Superman 4, I feel like there's a lot of good stuff in there, but there's also a lot of bad stuff, you know, that don't work for me. I think Superman Returns is I think encumbered by being a part of this universe. And I don't think it unfortunately adds to the universe. If anything, I think it does like weird stuff into that universe where I felt like we were okay with where we left off. And I don't think Superman Returns is the ideal continuation of that world. I do think, hilariously, the CW, you know, the Arrowverse did Crisis on Infinite Earths, which brought back that version, the Chris Reeve into Brandon Routh version of that Superman. And I think that version in the Arrowverse it worked really goddamn well.
Yeah.
He's only in there briefly, but it worked really, really well. I think Superman Returns, I think, does have problems there. It is unfortunate what I'm about to say right here, but there's one line. I think almost everything else around the Lex Luthor character isn't good, but there's a moment where Lex is saying something about like talking about Prometheus and like bringing, you know, like how he stole fire and the gods punished him and all this stuff. And Parker Posey, who's basically like his Miss Teschmacher, is just like, are you calling yourself a god? And Lex is just like, nope, I'm just Prometheus. I'm trying to bring fire to the people. And it was just such a well-delivered, well, like, done Lex Luthor line about how he sees himself as like the gods have this, Superman has this, and he should be sharing his gifts with humanity. So I'm just, you know, Prometheus trying to take fire and bring it down to the people. And I was like, that's an awesome characterization of Lex Luthor. Unfortunately, they fall back into the Gene Hackman list, like, land scheme! And I'm just like, Jesus
Christ. Yeah, but I mean, that's the Lex Luthor of these movies. Right?
And that's what I mean, where that Superman Returns is unfortunately encumbered by being
connected to
tied
this.
To that universe, you know?
Yeah.
Because if you're also going that route, then you have to be like, are we going to do Supergirl? And I'm like, what?
No. I'm looking forward to the day that there's another Superman movie. Like, there will also come a time, inevitably, that we will return to the character.
Inevitable.
There, you know, someday, like, we will be getting into, like, modern DC stuff. Like, that's inevitable. We'll get into Man of Steel and all of that. I do think that's just going to happen at some point. And like, there is a world where like, I would love to do more animated stuff. I feel like that's probably patron content at some point in time when we're ready to pull the trigger. Also, like, if there's enough interest from people, like, you know, the X-Men cartoon isn't going to watch itself. You know, a lot of like Batman Beyond and all this stuff, like, it's not going to watch itself. I would love to do it. I think it's patron content at some point in time. But not just the second, unless like I say this now and then like 1,000 people scream and they're like, do it now. And I'm like, okay, I am susceptible to pressure. So that could help. This has been such a fun series to do. It was just like nice and refreshing. And now we go back to work. You know what I mean? Like, now we go back to the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and I don't want to talk about it too much right now because we're going to do a whole other podcast about this very, very soon. The schedule is shifting as of this moment. Everything is Super has been a Monday podcast for the last little while. It's about to become a Friday podcast as we are about to embark on Loki on Disney Plus. It is coming out on June 9th. Coming next on Everything is Super, we are going to do a Loki preview show. We'll talk about Loki as a character. I think it'll be a lot of like general bantery type stuff, just like sort of like establishing our takes on where we are with the MCU right now, because it's been a minute since I've talked about it on the podcasts other than the Falcon the Winter Soldier feedback show, but I feel like I still have a lot more to say. So I'm really excited to dig into that. If you want to send us feedback for that show, it's recording pretty soon, so get it in really quickly if you can. Super@postshowrecaps.com is our general feedback address, or you can email Kevin@postshowrecaps.com. You can email me, Josh@postshowrecaps.com. We will have our Loki preview show coming out this coming Friday. That's, I believe, June 4th is when that is going to be. And we will be on Fridays for at least the next little while as Loki becomes a Wednesday show. Starting June 9th, we were going to record later that same night, and then we'll have the podcast out that Friday. So this is the last Monday. Everything is Super for a while. We're going to be a Friday show. The big bonus of that is you get two Everything is Super podcasts this week. So that's exciting for you. So that's just the news. Let's not dig into Loki as a character right now, Kevin. We got to save ourselves some content for next time. But I think it is like a fun, that's a fun swing from Superman to Loki. You know, right. Those are like very opposite characters. So I think like,
go from like the upstanding, persevering, you know, ideal, you know, person to the trickster god who just loves messing around with things.
But two gods.
I mean, we go
from
Superman to Mixed Pitlick, basically, right?
It's going to be cool. It's going to be great. I'm looking forward to it. So get that feedback in the aforementioned channels. Or, of course, you can hit up Kevin on Twitter @KevMahadeo. I am @RoundHoward. You can also talk to us if you are a patron of Post Show Recap, specifically in the Discord. We are very present in the Discord. We would love to continue these conversations with you there. It's the start of a month, depending on when you're listening to this. It's the end of the month or the start of the month. May 31st is when this drops. June 1st is when the podcast comes. May 31st is when the podcast comes out. June 1st is right around the corner. It's the perfect time to sign up. Patreon.com/postshowrecap. Start of the month is always a great time. That's when Patreon charges you. So it's a great time to get a lot of bang for your buck. You get the exclusive podcast feed at that $5 level. You get to hear Kevin Mahadeo talk about the Mighty Ducks with DJ LaBelle Klein, was special guest this week with you and Melissa. It was the finale of the Mighty Ducks Game Changers, if I am not mistaken.
Correct. It is the final episode of the Mighty Ducks Game Changers. We had such a fantastic time talking about it. But it's not the final episode of the podcast. We are doing one more episode coming up next week, in which we delve into the Mighty Ducks animated series.
It's crazy.
So we are rounding out. We started with the TV. We started with the traditional movies. We did the TV series, and the only place to end was that animated series. And so that's what Melissa and I will be doing for our final Mighty Ducks podcast.
So consider signing up patreon.com/postshowrecaps to listen to that podcast and so many more, so many things happening. June is the launch of the 24 podcast, worst day ever, just around the corner. Down the Hatch is happening. Community building is happening. Hang in There is happening. The Bloom Files are happening. It's just a lot of things that happen to be happening right now. Great time to support the show. Consider signing up patreon.com/postshowrecaps. Kevin, anything else that you want to talk about before we close the book on Superman?
Two quick things. One thing, on Aang in There, I was actually the guest this week for Aang in There, in which we covered the episode The Drill from season two. I love that episode, so I was really excited to talk about that, with, Jake and Zach. And so definitely check that out. I had a really great time. There's some great jokes. We had a blast. I hope everyone enjoyed watching his movies with us and following us along if you didn't watch it. If you haven't seen them, I hope this podcast maybe encouraged you to check them out. The Chris Reeves film are just so good and such a huge impact and like entertaining to watch. And I'm glad that a lot of them held up in different ways. So it was fun being able to visit that and have some fun watching these movies. And yeah, hit me up if you want to, chat Superman stuff. If you want any recommendations on certain books, I'm always glad to give those.
Kevin is a resource who is like all too happy to be available to you. So don't be shy. Say hi.
Yeah. And thanks everyone for listening to this. This is great as we leave Superman and get into some low key stuff.
All right. Yeah. What are we going to say? Everything is low key awesome.
Everything is so low key awesome.
Everything right now is like low key pretty great. Yeah. I think that's probably where we will be going as soon as this coming Friday, just a few days from now. So get that feedback in. Get ready. Goodbye. So long, Superman is not exactly right. But that is what I will say as we say bye to Superman.
CN 20, Josh.
CN 20, Superman. And we'll see you all in just a couple days with the start of our Loki coverage. Take care, everybody. Bye.